all of the big streamers, Amazon, Netflix, Google, and even Apple, are talking to the NBA. And so the idea that the NBA is going to take a big package and go to streaming looks pretty certain to happen as well.
Welcome to the Powers That Be Daily, Puck's podcast focused on the intersection of Wall Street, Washington, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and the players who run it all. I'm Peter Hamby. It's Tuesday, April 2nd. Today, I'm joined by John Orant to talk about my favorite subject, basketball. Specifically, whether NBA broadcast rights will go somewhere new, a streamer like Netflix, or even back to NBC, where they lived during the Michael Jordan era. We also dig into the white-hot business of women's college basketball and why NIL deals have been a boon to college stars like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. We'll discuss all that and much, much more on today's episode of The Powers That Be.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to the Powers That Be. I hope you survived yesterday's avalanche of terrible April Fool's jokes on social media. The bit got old years ago. It's fine. You don't need to do an April Fool's joke on Instagram, corporate brands. I'm joined today by John Orand to talk about hoop. Obviously, March Madness is all over television. We're going to talk about the women's tournament and some NIL storylines later on in the episode. But first, John, welcome to the show. I want to ask you about the NBA and their almighty broadcast rights. Obviously, right now, Disney ESPN, they broadcast NBA games. You've got Warner Brothers Discovery with TNT, and obviously like Kenny and Charles and Shaq, and we all love those guys. These rights deals are being renegotiated right now. Adam Silver is talking to broadcasters and streaming platforms, et cetera, et cetera. Is there going to be a shakeup in the world of where we get NBA games on television or on streaming, or will the status quo continue?
The answer is a little bit of both, actually, Peter. So right now, ESPN, Disney ESPN, and Warner Brothers Discovery, which of course owns TNT, they have three more weeks left of an exclusive negotiating period with the NBA. And so they're going to keep talking. It's inconceivable to me that ESPN would lose the NBA. I think that's about as certain a bet as you can make. So the idea that the NBA finals on ABC and the playoffs going on ESPN, that's likely to continue. The big question is what happens with Warner Brothers Discovery and what happens with NBC that's also said that it wants to get in. Right now, Warner Brothers Discovery, they have True TV and they have TNT and they have these cable channels that keep losing subscribers. Well, NBC, they have another broadcast network. They're trying to build out Peacock in a big way, their streaming service. And they also have somebody in Mark Lazarus who has a relationship with the NBA that goes back 30, 40 years back when he was an executive with Turner, of all places. So there's a lot of movement that could potentially happen there. Where we can see some big changes, though, is going to come in the streaming world. Because right now, all of the big streamers, Amazon, Netflix, Google, and even Apple, are talking to the NBA. And so the idea that the NBA is going to take a big package and go to streaming looks pretty certain to happen as well.
I do want to ask you more about these streamers real quick, but you mentioned NBC. Obviously, I grew up watching NBA on NBC. The theme song is iconic. John Tesh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, is like drilled into every person's brain if they're over the age of like 35. I think Fox uses it for college basketball now. But are you saying NBC would be in the hunt to get basketball, NBA basketball back?
NBC says that they want it. NBC wants to grow Peacock. And all of these media companies have realized that an easy way to grow streaming subscriptions is through sports. So if you look at Paramount Plus, which I know a lot of people at Puck sort of make fun of, you know, they have grown a big audience with their soccer programming, also with their NFL programming. If you look at ESPN, their relationship with the UFC is what primarily drives subscribers to ESPN Plus. And so they also look at the NBA, especially if you look internationally. The amount of international players in the NBA is at an all-time high, and they happen to be the best players in the league right now. So if you're a streaming service, you're taking a look at that and saying, like, boy, this is really a way that I can grow my service.
So I do want to ask you about Netflix. I talked to John Kelly about this a little bit for Media Monday, but he's not. Despite being our wise and fearless leader and expert on this stuff like you are. You wrote last week that an idea perhaps for Adam Silver would be to have Netflix have exclusive rights to that NBA in-season tournament that started this year. How realistic is that? Is Netflix the natural leader among all the streamers for some kind of NBA deal?
Well, the thing that Netflix likes is they like something that's relatively short and contained and that they can own. And that is something like the in-season tournament. It also is something like the play-in games for the playoffs. You have seeds in each conference. You have seeds 7, 8, 9, and 10 that play each other to actually get into the playoffs. So they could do something around that. And every time anybody brings up Netflix, they always bring up Drive to Survive, you know, the F1 series that they created. And they say that what Netflix really wants to do is get the live rights and then build a documentary series around it, which almost certainly they're going to do. But the real drive for Netflix is, again, this internationalization of the NBA and the idea that the NBA made sure all of its domestic rights and all of its international rights ended at the same time. So as Netflix goes to potentially make a deal here, it's not making a deal just for the U.S., which is pretty much what ESPN or Warner Brothers Discovery would do. It is making a global deal, and that's where, again, the internationalization of the NBA is really going to help the NBA as they try to negotiate that.
John, I want to take a quick break. When we come back, ask you about the big, booming, and growing, seemingly, business of women's college basketball. Welcome back to The Powers That Be. We are talking basketball with John Orand. Obviously, we have our Final Four for the men. That's set next weekend in Phoenix. The women's tournament, though, is very exciting. I should say we're taping this just before LSU and Iowa with superstar Caitlin Clark. And I should say Angel Reese as well. She's a superstar. Kim Mulkey, a star in another way. So we don't know the outcome of that game, but it doesn't really matter for this conversation. John, Caitlin Clark is emblematic of a new kind of college athlete these days. She's played 4 years. There's incentive if you're somebody like Caitlin Clark to play 4 years, to stay in college. It's the NIL deals. So I want to ask you just your thoughts generally on whether NIL and the transfer portal in college, which are controversial. You and I, or I at least, ranted to you about this when I saw you in DC a few weeks ago. What is the upside of it, not just for athletes, but for the sport of college basketball as a whole? And then also, like, how is the women's tournament doing this year in the ratings? Because I remember last year, the women's final was obviously a blockbuster on television.
Well, there are two different things that we're talking about here. We're talking about NIL, which actually has been very helpful in terms of keeping some of these stars playing for another year or two in the college game before they go to the WNBA. But then there's also the transfer portal. And you know that I'm a big Maryland Terrapin fan. Well, from last season to next season, Maryland's team is going to turn over all but two players. So we're going to have to relearn every player. The idea of watching a player grow from his freshman year to his sophomore year to his junior year to his senior year is something that doesn't happen. And I think you're really seeing the effects of that in the men's tournament. TV ratings are basically flat from what I've seen. And they're just, more to the point, is there are no real big storylines that are setting the world on fire. you take a look at the women's game and you have Caitlin Clark has been in Iowa for 4 years. Iowa fans have watched her since her freshman year. I think on a national level, maybe the last like 2 years, 3 years, people have gotten to know her. Angel Reese, same sort of deal. She's been with LSU for a couple of years and people have just watched her games grow. And TV, if you think of college basketball as a TV product, the more you get to know the players, the better the ratings are going to be. It's like a TV show. It's like, and so the returning players, people are going to want to watch. And I think that's what we're seeing in the women's game. And it's really being borne out in the ratings because the ratings for the women's tournament are up considerably from last year. And last year they were up considerably from the year before.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to a bunch of people, very random too, who I wouldn't expect watch women's college basketball, who were talking about how great the UCLA-LSU game was over the weekend.
And not only that, on Monday morning, on First Take on ESPN, Stephen A. Smith, Shannon Sharp, they were talking about the women's tournament and the Elite Eight games in the men's tournament had just been played the night before, something that you've never seen before. It's really incredible.
Yeah, I was at my friend Anima's birthday over the weekend, and one of our other friends, this guy Dylan, is from the state of Iowa, and people were sort of like dressed up for this party, and he was wearing like a huge gaudy Caitlin Clark t-shirt. Like it was like he was so proud of Caitlin Clark in his home state. And you know, it's cool seeing a dude wearing a women's basketball shirt. I'm glad you're bringing up the NIL, the positive sides of NIL, because I've been grousing about this for a while. Mostly though, the transfer portal stuff, that bothers me. Obviously college players should be getting paid and are finally getting paid for their services. But, you know, they do seem correlated. You can bounce around if there's an appealing NIL deal over here. But it's not just women, too. Armando Bacot, he came back for another year at North Carolina. I think he's making, like, almost $1 million in NIL endorsements. He has, like, a Dunkin' Donuts campaign running on television. So it's like, clearly there are some examples of players having the incentive to stay in college. And I certainly like hearing about that. John, we were in the Slack with John Kelly recently talking about the buzz around that Washington Post story about Kim Mulkey. That's obviously the LSU coach. That was a big off the court storyline in recent weeks. What other sort of big storylines are you watching around women's college basketball? What's adding to the drama on the court?
Well, so beyond from a business standpoint, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are bona fide stars, and they're both Caitlin Clark has already said she's going to go to the WNBA. Most people believe Angel Reese is as well. And so there are a couple of storylines that I'm looking at, which is, will they be able to take their newfound star power to the WNBA and help build up the WNBA? That's not a certainty, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Most people think they will. That's just a storyline that I think that is out there. And by the same token, one of the things that was really great about Iowa-LSU is their rivalry. As they leave the college space, there are really good players that are left in women's college basketball. But will they be able to grab the casual fan in the same way that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese have been able to? I mean, so will this sort of help raise the profile of women's college basketball? I think it likely will, if I'm going to make a prediction, but that is a big storyline to take a look at moving forward.
All right, John, thank you for your insights about all this stuff. As always, it's a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Peter, I can't believe you brought me on and you didn't talk about how I'm number two in the office pool.
You know what? I spent today working on a story and forgot to check the updates. I did see very briefly, because I'm self-interested, that I am absolutely getting my ass kicked. Who do you have winning the whole thing? You have UConn, right?
I have UConn beating Purdue in the championship, so I still have a couple teams left. I was sweating bullets on this one because as the new guy at Puck and the sports guy at Puck, I had to make sure that I did okay. There was a lot of pressure on me.
Yeah, UConn is an absolute wagon. I mean, we'll see if they can beat Zach Edey. He looks like he'll kill somebody if it gets his way, but I think that's a good pick. UConn is a good pick. Okay, I should say, dear audience, John is second in the Puck office pool. Sorry for not giving you a shout out, buddy.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Powers That Be. As a reminder, The Powers That Be is the official podcast of Puck.
we'd like to thank Ben Landy, Liz Goff, and Alex Bigler for their editorial and production guidance. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. It really helps us keep delivering the inside scoop that only Puck can offer. Follow us on Twitter at Puck News. I'm Ben Landy. See you tomorrow. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The Powers That Be Daily is executive produced by John Kelly, co-founder of Puck, Bob Tabador, and Ben Landy, executive editor at Puck.